Okay, just a couple of quick announcements that'll help you. Rebecca Morgan, who'll be leaving next month for Israel for 10 months to work with the Jewish village for young children making Aliyah, most come from either France or Russia. She's doing lunch and breakfast. There's some really great quiche back there, as well as there's going to be chili, and her family's come, and we want to go eat, and or if you can't eat, just go give her money. But let's, you know, when Jordan Kennedy, who just returned, if you're young and you give, or if you're old and give away a year of your life, that's really precious to God. And we want to applaud that, and we want to facilitate that. And I look for the day when we can, when people have that calling come alive, we are ready to just fully join with them, and not only our prayer and agreement, but with the finances too. As we've declared over every nation, we've prayed that we'll send a team fully funded, fully anointed to every nation before time is ended. And may it be. We're growing in that. Many nations will go many times. The children's ministry this Friday will do a play and pray and play at the park at Valley Lindo at 6 to 8 p.m. See Christy. Christy is the young lady who's so quiet up here. She's an awesome children's director. Also, Wednesday, we're going to do Mansions at 6 to 7. It's our kind of like, those who've committed themselves to be mansion dwellers are a pilgrim company, intentionally practicing the truths that Jesus gave us, accomplished for us, and are now stated in the Word. Rather than being intellectual truths we assent to, we're intentionally practicing dwelling in the mansion so we can experience them in completeness. And I'd love for, if you got my email, you got an email from Mansions at Jubilee Church, then you're on our, you're part of our group. If you haven't, go online, sign up. Come, everyone, 6 o'clock, 7. I believe God's intentionally wanting to use the power of agreement and the support and the power of blessing over each of us so we can advance. Because what we're going to look at today, you'll see that the truths that God wants us to live in are not the contemporary truths that we're experiencing. They're neither in the church nor in the world, because the church has gotten too religious and the world has been antichrist from day one. But the things that God asks us to stand in are ours through Jesus Christ. And it's just waiting for us to press in and make that full connection. And that's what we're endeavoring to do in Mansions. That'll be at 6 o'clock in the sanctuary, and then we'll continue into practicing having an experience, living in an encounter, living in a intercession of Jesus in the 7 o'clock service. And that's it. If you have a birthday in August, we'd love for you to get pick a nation. Help us pray for what nation we'll pray for. You can go back to Tom right now. Allie's back there. And go ahead and pull out a nation. And out of the lot, you'll have something given to you. And you may be living there. You know, and or just carrying an inheritance, or okay, I know we've gotten way too far out of most of you. Let's reel it back in. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1-4. I want to show this to you. We're not that strange here. We're actually more normal. Normal Christianity is not average Christianity. Normal Christianity is far out of this world. And we need to be. We need to find our place and hold our place. I want to teach about Jesus, the high priest. I want to glorify Jesus Christ today for you and me to fully get a vision of who he is and what he's doing so that we can enter into our part so we can sit with him. I'm going to teach you how to overcome before the service is over, and you'll step inside an overcoming posture. No matter how life is going, how many would like to have an overcoming posture? You know, an attitude, a feeling of, okay, well, you've already got most of the problem fixed. Yeah, how many have problems? Okay, well, you need that to be an overcomer, because if you don't have something for testing you, you don't have a testimony. So you have the test, we moan a little bit, and Jesus comes up, and we get a testimony. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, then we'll go to Hebrews. Colossians chapter 3. Sam. Okay, thank you. Here's a question or a statement. If then you were raised with Christ, how many are raised with Christ? Okay. Just so you know, I'm not going to try to amp you up, but the Holy Spirit is intentionally, through the worship and then through the interaction of the dance and the declaration, he's asking us to intentionally connect. Therefore, I may ask questions and ask for response, and we may feel the need to step into agree with what is being said. So if you were raised with Christ, how many raised with Christ? Okay, we may be still living at the same address, having the same thoughts we were having yesterday, but we've been raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Question, what are the things above? I'm not asking you to figure it all out, but we have a location there where Christ is. And where is Christ? He's sitting at the right hand of God. So there's going to be some of that stuff in the throne room. We know David discovered in Psalm 16 that at your right, in your presence is fullness of joy, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So yay. You're not going to the Supreme Court of the United States Court. You're not going to have your sins judged and expelled. You're going to step inside of joy, pleasure, and acceptance in Jesus Christ. Set your mind on the things above. Now we have to now begin to put our affections. This is where the discipline of prayer and mansions comes into play, because for the things I'm sharing with you that are in the scripture, for you to enjoy them, you have to practice them. And you cannot practice them by trying to be that as much as you can practice by trying to observe, to behold, to look. So that is where we do a prayer. We go, okay, oh, I want to set my mind on these things. Wow, what are these things? Joy and peace, righteousness, peace and joy, Holy Spirit, connections, scripture. And next thing you know, we are starting to have a conversation and experience our imagination on things above, not on the things of the earth. If you want to know your future, read the Bible. If you want to know your problems, read the newspaper. It's not, I look at the news all the time, but it's not where I gain my identity, or do I get afraid by what I see. It just confirms what God has said. I gain my identity from the things above. For you died. How many died? And your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's huge. You see, when we started to sing that interactive song, "Don't Worry, I've Got You," the truth is he's got you. We may not be fully emotionally within our soul and physically in such of our circumstances aware of him having us, but spiritually in Christ, by what he's been accomplished, he's got us, and we're with Christ in God. So your life, my life, our life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's why prayer and practicing presence and living in a mansion. How many would like to live in a mansion? Yeah. Right, the mansion is in heaven. That Father's house is more glorious than any mansion on the planet. Yet it is a place we are learning to live, because we're hidden there. You see, it's while we're in that posture of prayer and practice and meditation and worship and personal and corporate, we're growing in location. We're growing in our assurance, our confidence, our trust, our belief, our hope. And what's going to happen one day soon, already beginning to happen, when Christ, who is our life, remember, we're died, but we're hidden with Christ in God. But when Christ, who is our life, appears, then we will appear with him in glory. See, we're not a people that are crying out, "God, please save us, because everything's getting so bad." We're going to come and take over the place because everything got so good. Not because the earth gets good, but because we become settled in who we are in Christ. And it's good. Tell your neighbor, it's good. It's good. It's good news. It's a good place. It's a good future. And the worse you're in a contested area, that's where your inheritance is. That's where your future is. That's what the devil wants you to acquiesce and throw it down. I don't care. It's not worth pursuing. And God's saying, just agree with me. Stay in agreement with me. Don't try to fix it here. Come up here and be with me. Be with me. Come be with me. That's what prayer is. It's coming out of the conflict and confusion and frustration and control, being controlled, trying to control, and stepping into perfect peace, perfect joy, victory, hope, things that we have no right to feel. And yet we can feel them until we're intoxicated with the truth of our place in Christ. And then we go into our day, and everyone will feel that follow us into our day. And by the end of the day, we got to get back up there. Because I believe that the way God designed our fellowship with him is that whatever we experience in Jesus, it lasts the day. Just like the manna lasts the day. So but you think, oh, what a bummer. No, it's not a bummer. It's summer. We're talking about God. Hey, I love you. I'll send my only begotten son to die for you so that you can be with me. And we're going, oh, that's pretty cool. Appreciate that. Do you do anything about my neighbor next door growing pot? Well, come on up here and let's fellowship in my victory. Yeah, but I'd like a better cubicle at work. Can you help me there? No, come. No, don't you understand? I fixed life. I created everything. I made it perfect for you. Yeah, I know. Can you do anything about my weight? All's good stuff, but we miss the point. If we do not value Jesus, we will not get the value of Jesus. It is what you get, what you worship. You got to worship him to get it. Whatever you worship, you get. Look what your attention's on all day long. If you're checking Facebook, how many likes do I have? Did anybody like my picture? Oh, they didn't like my picture. That's your identity. You become what you worship. When you worship God, you become into the entrance and, oh, it's so good. So let's go on. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 20. This now picks up from where first service ended, and we're going to go a little further into what I'm going to teach you right now is not commonly understood or received or welcomed because it's just, we're still trying to keep up with Jesus on the Galilee. And trust me, keeping up with Jesus during the 3.5 years of ministry would have been hard for anyone. We would have continually gone, what are you talking about? And can I confer with you for a moment, Jesus? Because the way you're going is not where I want you to go. But now he's resurrected. He's ascended. He's seated at the right hand of God. He has a job. He's called the high priest. He's called after the order of Melchizedek, meaning that he's separate from the order of the Aaronic priesthood. He has been given a perpetual priesthood where he holds us before the Lord. Keep going to 22. Now, Jesus became this surety, this assurance of a better covenant. Because before there were lots of priests. They came and they went. Kind of like administrations. Kind of like kings and kind of like presidents. They kind of come and they change everything around, but nothing changes. And everything changes, but nothing changes. And you're always repeating everything. But instead, Jesus was the surety. And for 2,000 years, he's been priest. There were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he continues forever as an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost. How many remember Toy Story? You know, Buzz Lightyear. To infinity and beyond! He can go with you wherever you're going and save you forever, wherever you go. He's able to save to the uttermost. That's what that means. Those who come to God through him. The way we access. I mean, if we understood what he accomplished, we would be forever praising God for what he's given us in his son. We would never be able to stop thanking him for what he accomplished. And as we begin to behold what he accomplished, we begin to expand what he's done, and everything he's done is now for us, so we begin to actually find out who we are in Christ. Just through the simple act of giving him adoration. You're the Savior, you're the healer, you're the deliverer, you're the redeemer. You're my wisdom from God, you're my righteousness, you're my redemption, you're my sanctification. You're my joy, you're my peace. Every time I do that, it's like carrying a big bucket of water up the stairs to try to put it on the second story, and all of a sudden it tips all over me. And I'm more wet by the end of the day than I got water on the top. Because God designed it to be that way. What I praise him for, I will receive him in. Oh, Shabba, Yebaba. For such a high priest was, no, excuse me, saved for the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives. The way you would put that is that this is what Jesus lives for. When he got up this morning, which he didn't, because he stayed up all night, because he was in adoration and intercession through the entire planet 24/7, and he doesn't have to sleep, but because he's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, and what he's ever doing is interceding. Now you can ask a question, what is he doing? Interceding, he's interceding your future. He's interceding his victory into your life. He is meeting you in your set of life and reconnecting you to a new experience with him in your life. Every encounter with God becomes an experience. That experience transforms the situation from the past and sends us into our future, makes hope come alive. He's making intercession. I'll give you the Greek for intercession. It means to, it's the idea of, let's go back a little further. It's is that the ice cream truck? It's making me hungry. Never. When Jesus intercedes, when he connects and makes, when we have a connection with him, he is bringing us, he's making things ready or bringing something to pass. He's creating an effect or affecting us. There's an effect going on, shifting some circumstances. He's affecting the way I'm seeing circumstances because he's specifically hitting or lighting upon as a mark to be reached. Let me understand, make no mistake. When Jesus meets you, he knows where he's going. When Jesus meets you, he knows where you're going. He knows what he's trying to complete in you, which is in him. And it's not hard to complete in you what's in him because he completed it all. And all he's doing is helping us. We're learning to believe, agree, receive, value, worship. And the more we do, then the more all of a sudden this stuff gets further impacted inside of us in a power, in a like truth. And truth makes us free. It makes you free. It makes you free. It makes you go to work and good day, bad day, you're still free. You're free. You're free. It's like liberty. It's like I am loved. I am valued. I'm appreciated. I'm a son. I have a calling. I'm identifying. But here's the deal. Let's jump ahead to Hebrews 10:19. The practice of Jesus, my high priest, entering inside of his intercession, which the closest thing that his intercession over you it would be like is your hope in him. The words of promise, the things he's ever said, scriptures that he highlighted, things you dreamed, you said, yeah, that's his intercession. And he's saying, I got you. Don't worry. Don't worry. I got you. I got you. It's going to happen. It's going to happen just like I told you the first time. It's just gotten bigger and better since the first time. I got you. I got you. Don't worry. And we're learning to go, yeah, you got me. And grow in that sight. So here's the practicing of this. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus. I know. I spend most of my time trying to get God to come into my stuff, fix my stuff, and undo the things I don't like, and make things I like more, and get rid of the things I don't like. I want him here. I mean, if you would just come where I am, then we could fix all this stuff and things would be good. But he's saying, I already did that. It was called the Earth Walk, the Galilean journey from the Bethlehem to Jerusalem, from the cradle, from the manger to the cross. I did that. You want anything? There's a good record of it. Holy Spirit will make it all real to you. Go there. Enjoy it. And now I've ascended, and I'm seated at the right hand of God, and I'm the high priest. Now I want you to come here to me. I did everything to be with you. You come and be with me. It's like when Larry Lee was introducing prayer to the church and getting the people to pray afresh. He said this simple saying. He said, Jesus raised from the dead, and we can't even get out of bed. And the point was to try to provoke us out of making some application. Truth is, in this room and on the internet, if you're watching, you are already way mature to a point where you value something that you've tasted. You've had an experience that you know to be true. You've sensed there's something more. You've even seen it, and you've made a movement toward it. You've left things in order to follow Jesus. You've cost you. Some of you have journeyed, lost homes or families or time because you've been in a pursuit. And now there's this time for his appearing, and we're to be with him in glory, but there's this beckoning, the Lord saying, I need you to calibrate back into me. You need to reconcile your past into my present. You need to forgive and let go of everything that's gone contrary to your expectation and come back into my victory and triumph. And I can't do that by fixing your world, because if I answer your prayers, I'm going to mess up somebody else's prayer. Right? I mean, seriously, if we were to change the world around us, we'd go about 4 feet out and maybe one generation or two around us, and we'd call everybody what we want them to be and whether they want it or not. We'd tell them who to marry and where to go, and then that would disrupt a whole other group of 4 feet out. So the learning of prayer is the learning of coming into Christ, because in Christ, he has been given an inheritance that encompasses all of eternity. And we find a special place inside of him, calling and inheritance, that we begin to grow and learn in. And if you know your calling and your inheritance, you're not worried about what's going on with your brother and sister, because you have a place, because you have significance, because you have value, because you are loved. Because if God says, don't worry, you know he's talking about you. It's just dealing with the slavery mentality that we've got born into that causes us to always be afraid, and fear always is the idea that I'm going to get punished somehow. I'm going to get into some trouble, and it's going to cost me. So I want to control as much as I can so I don't get into trouble and it doesn't cost me. I don't want to be in that fear, so I want to protect myself so there's no chance for me to get into trouble and cost me. And God's saying, just come. I got you. I got you. So now we're being introduced into practice. Come into my presence boldly by my blood. That's the way we get in. Jesus, I'm coming because your blood paid for everything I just did yesterday. I will not come on my own justification. I won't care. I won't come on my good days and avoid you on my bad days. I come because of your blood. Your blood gives me boldness. I'm in the family. I cannot be rejected. There's faith in the blood, and the blood's accomplishment gives us a boldness, a confidence. And that entrance is through this new and living way, because he's already in a tabernacle made without hands. The new and living way is himself, his flesh. So I say, Lord, thank you for your death, because without you dying according to scripture for my offenses, then none of this other wonderful things could have happened. So thank you for your death, that you were buried. It was not a sleight of the hand and not a trickery of man. You were buried for 3 days according to scripture. And you were raised according to scripture on the third day. And you were raised because I was justified. I know we've been telling you that we can do that for you. I can't do this for you. I'll show you how to do it, but you've got to do it. Until those words come out of your mouth, you justified me. I'm coming in that bold place. I'm boldly coming to that holy place by your blood. Where is the holy place? Is it church? Religion? Oh, I know it's worship songs. No, it's God's presence. It's his throne of grace. It's where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. You want to know where the holy place? Go read Revelations 4 and 5. After that, go to 7, then go to 11, then go to 15, then go to 19. And if you've got enough, go to 21 and 22. Some of us spend more time reading about where we're going on vacation than we spend investigating our inheritance. And then you're wondering, I don't feel loved. Well, you've, of course not. Because love comes from his presence. Love comes from the Holy Spirit pouring into your heart. Love, liquid love. It's not love of man, it's love of God. Love God, love me, I love God, now I can love you. Yeah. Do you know, it does not work at love one another so we can all love God. No, we love God, so you got to love one another. We're going out of the order. We want the world to change so we can be different. When all we need to do is change and everything else will be different. It's easier to put on the velvet slippers than to try to carpet the world in silk. You can pretend, whoo, I am just in. It's just, I'm sorry, an overactive prayer life will do this to you. You start believing you're in the holy place. You have to by faith. I'm in the holy place. I don't feel any different. But by faith, I'm in the holy place because I didn't do anything different to get here other than it was by the blood and through the veil. The veil is his flesh, which means his death, burial, resurrection, his ascension, and now his high priestly intercession. Because of this glorious accomplishment, which taking a little bit of time of using, finding language, whatever language you want, but just language that agrees with Scripture, that agrees with truth, and the truth then becomes your freedom, because the word to bring you free has to bring you to truth. The truth experience is where freedom is found. It's this, there's Jesus. I mean, we're in the biggest Where's Waldo ever. Where's Jesus? Where are you going to meet me today when I come into your presence? I'm coming through you. Nobody's going to tell me not to come because I'm coming. I got a year. I got a lifetime membership. And I can come anytime, and I need to come all the time because I am having a hard time having to live in agreement with you on this stinking planet. And yet you want me to love the planet without controlling it. So we're not going to get a new religious caliphate taking over the earth. From any religion. I don't want Muslims. I don't want Jews. I don't want Christians ruling the world. Sorry about that. I want Jesus. And I want, the only way he rules the world is each of us have to kiss the Son. I love you, Jesus. And whatever you are doing, I will allow you to be Lord in my life. You are Lord in my life. You are in control. I worship you, Jesus. I bless you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I bless you, Jesus. And then sometimes he says, okay, then just forgive everybody. Well, let me think about that again, Jesus. If I forgive everybody, then all the reasons that are keeping them in check to continue them from going further into hell and sin will be removed, and they're just going to be licensed. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Let's just go back to worship. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Okay, forgive them. See, that's the learning under his voice. That's here, learning to hear him speak. And that only happens in this intentionality. I mean, sometimes out of the blue, he says, forgive your enemies. And we know, oh, that was the word of the Lord. I got to do that. And then we go around and tell everybody, guess what? God told me to forgive all my enemies. Oh, I got a word from the Lord. And he says, okay, but now let's walk that out. Ooh. Do you know how much righteousness we carry? I mean, it's, you know, we just all have a place. We were out surfing yesterday. We had a bunch of kooks out there, which are people learning to surf, aggressively pursuing it with enthusiasm, but they're in their late 20s, early 30s. So rather than a young kid, it's just going, woo, got big kids doing it, and they're dangerous big kids on boards. And Cammie's so polite, and she's not trying, you know, you paddle over to one point, okay, we'll sit over here at this peak, let that kind of wave come, and, you know, these guys are so aggressive because they're just never going to surf again the rest of their life. There they are, they got their spot. But all of a sudden and then they get on a wave, and then they go right at you, and you go, because they can't aim. They can aim, but they can't turn. Wherever they're going, they're going. And so Cammie and I were just talking about this, and I'm about ready to say something, and this one guy paddles up. Hey, what's your name? I see you surf all the time. I really like the way you surf. I really like your style. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, just like that, just like that. What am I supposed to do? Well, I do not like your style, and I don't like your attitude. Would you tell your buddies to stop this? You see, that's that weird stuff about being a Christian. You're always having to listen to the internal voice, sorting out the way you should be externally expressing yourself. And God is so funny like it because he'll trick you. He'll play with you like that. He won the war. All right? He won the war. He is resurrected. The world is his. The future is his. The only thing that he's looking for is faith, so that he can bring about the completion of the hope that he released in us. So he's always undoing the natural stuff, the fear mechanisms, the hurt mechanisms, self-righteousness mechanisms, the I'm going to solve it by law. So we come in, back to the high priest, into the presence through the veil, there I am, and I have this high priest. Hi, Jesus, you're my high priest. Just say that tomorrow in prayer. Hey, Jesus, you're my high priest. Cool. Love it. What does that mean? I don't know, but I love you. What does it mean? Well, we can learn. It's in the Bible. We can have experiences that we tell us, oh, I know what the high priest is. High priest is someone who's for you. The high priest is someone who holds a place between you and God, and what he's accomplished for you in God is going to happen to you in life. He's the guy who says, don't worry. I got you. I got you, I got you. We got this, we got this, we got this. And he's so different because as soon as he always says those words in your circumstances of life that are totally opposite. Right? Like, I can remember one day just under so much oppression, so much warfare in my mind, my emotions, and I just like, oh, just like I'm in a quagmire of demonic voices. And I hear the Lord say, we've got the devil just where we want him. And I'm going, well, you may have him where you want him, but I don't have him where I want him. I'm where he wants me now. What are we going to do about that? It's this faith thing. It's this response. You see, because he actually believes what he did is done. He actually believes whatever he says should be believed. He thinks when he says, hey, don't worry, I got you, we're supposed to go, oh, cool, party, party. But we're sophisticated believers now. We go, well, that might mean don't be as anxious as you currently have been, but hold prayer a little more loosely and lightly, because there's going to be something that's going to come that you don't want to be unprepared and cast all your burdens away. You want to have a quick response to the next problem. So let's just, let's be mature. No, that's religion. That's fear. That's self-protection. Did you hear that today? We said, just abandon yourself to me. Now, but you see, the cool thing is in the presence, you can do all that. Yeah. You can be all that. You can go, hey, I'm going to practice this abandonment stuff. Jesus, I love you. You got it. You got it. You got it. Go, Jesus, go, Jesus, go, go, go. And by doing that, you get picked up. But then he starts to speak back and he says, yeah, I do. Let go, Steve, let go. Go, Jesus, go. Let go, Steve, let go. Go, Jesus, go. Let go, Steve. Oh, you want me to let go? Okay. And there's a release. That's an experience. That's life being exchanged. Forgiveness flowing, being forgiven. the burdens we carry trying to be what we think Jesus asked us to be is making our life miserable. When if we behold who he is, his burdens are light. His yoke is easy. At the end of prayer, if you're not happier than you were when you started praying, you didn't pray right. You went to the wrong inner court. Prayer will affect the way you feel about today, tomorrow, about yourself. It will make love fill everything and light start to flow. So this veil, flesh, having a high priest, then we can approach him with a true heart. God, I do all that. Then I tell God how I feel. I'm really afraid. I'm really insecure. I'm really anxious. I'm really confused. I feel like and what I've learned when I am there is because I need a new experience with him. I'm living off fumes. How many have ever had an encounter with Jesus that changed the way the day went? An experience, you know, like a word of sense. Yeah, right? Hold your hand up. How many want one? Another one. It can be every day, five times a week. Come on, we don't have enough time to fix the world through politics, legislation, or economies. All we have is a possibility of have a bunch of transfigured beings into the image of Jesus alive in Christ. Hallelujah. Love it, everybody. Love you. I love you. Love, love, love. Love you. Have you ever been in the glory? I love you. I love this pulpit. Oh, God, I love this pulpit. Oh, I love this book that I bought that I didn't like, but now I love you. Oh, and the Bible. Oh, Bible. I love the Bible. Bible, 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 Bible. That's the glory. That's transformation. There's no transformation in the glory without the glory. According to Scripture, we're in the ministry of the Spirit, not the letter. The letter kills. The Spirit gives life. The letter kills, and it kills, and it brings death, and then it brings condemnation. The Spirit gives life, and it brings righteousness. And it's the reason it's a ministry of the Spirit, not the ministry of Jesus, because the ministry of Jesus is the high priest holding our place. The Holy Spirit's going, come on, get in agreement with my Jesus. Get in agreement with Jesus. He did it. He did it. He did it. He's the cheerleader of the earth. Come on, everybody.
I know. I know. It's wonderful what you've done, but
he says, just get in the river, man. Just get in the stream. Come alive. Get inside. Get invited. Oh. And if you ever do, you look, you go into a transformation. Glory changes you. Law does not change anybody. For your record, all law does is make sin stronger. You want to fix something? Apply the law to it. Then it'll strengthen the situation into a bigger sin to finally you'll have to say, Jesus, I seem to have kind of created a little bit of a problem. I think I'm just going to give you some room to fix that. You're going to be like Abraham, you know, like, I'm fully in faith that I'm going to have a baby with Sarah next year, but I seem to kind of have gotten her in another man's house. I just think I'll give you some room. See, that's all God needs is some room. We're sitting there going, whew. I mean, think about it. What would you be doing? Call the local cops. My wife is in Gaza. That's where it was. And a Palestinian, a Hamas leader has her. Call the IDF. No, man of faith. Just think I'll give you a little room, Papa. Because, you know, whatever you say, you can do. And I figure you could fix this as well as you had said in the first place. I know. But I got into an intercession thing about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah and kind of went south for me. And ever since then, I've been kind of out of my game. And I kind of got back caught in a little bit of lying. And, you know, I don't know what to say. But you know what? I still believe you. Whatever you said, you can do. So I'm going to give you some room. That's what he's asking. Let go. I got it. You got it? You sure? Yeah. Let it go. Release it. The fellowship that Abraham could practice was in his presence, he believed. And there's no righteousness on the earth, guys. Jesus Christ is righteousness to us. Everything else is somebody's opinion, put into some kind of order, made into some kind of law, becoming some form of religion or non-religion. Save the planet. Whatever it is, it's still man trying to save man by man's right answers to the wrong things. When this Jesus, this high priest, this holy one who just would collect you, in all that we have in this problem that we're in, is holding the faith and agreement and trust and delightfulness and enjoyment, and even though we're making it a little harder and harder for Jesus, we're giving him more and more room, is that we just endure. If we endure, we overcome. If we overcome, we get to sit with him. Overcoming is not that you finally got your act together. It's finally you quit acting. It's finally you let it go. Seriously, we are about to let go of a bunch of stuff right now. And just step in and say, help me hold that confidence. Come on. Why did the church start as a party? Why did everybody have to get full of the Spirit? Why did they have to think we were drunk? Because we were drunk. Because we had to be intoxicated with a force greater than the force of the planet. So we weren't afraid. And we had to find that connection. And so, you can have it. You can have Jesus. And Jesus doesn't mind you holding him in his word. He just doesn't appreciate us telling him how to do his word. But if we give him, I'll give you some room. I mean, how many would like to have that relationship with God, right? Oh, Father, I've loved you with all my life, and I've seemed to have kind of messed up a few things. But it's okay, because you can do anything, and whatever you promise, you still can perform. So I just think I'll give you some room. I'm going to worship you. That's what Abraham was doing. He was glorifying God and just glorify you. That's radical faith, guys. Your wife's in somebody else's house in Gaza, Hamas leader. You've got 3 months, according to 9 month gestation period, to have a baby. You have already lost 3 weeks. I think it's a good time to worship right now. I love you, Lord, glorious King. And what are you going to worship? You can do anything. You can deliver my wife from any place. You can bring about your promises in any way. Nothing I do can undo what you've done. You are God, you are God, you are God. Don't you understand? That's how you cheer yourself up. That's how you strengthen yourself in your faith. That's what you and I have been called of God to do. Stand up. Oh, Jesus. Think about what you have. Think about the problems you have created. I know they were somebody else's fault, but just think of the problems you're in. But for today, only the problems that are yours can God fix. So claim them. Claim you and your stuff. Wow. Now, think of the word, the promises God has made. Things you've heard, believed, trusted. Left everything to follow after, kept, put in your heart, endeavored to follow after, things that were once super sense of encouragement, sense of purpose, plan. Think of those. And notice there's probably a pretty big chasm between the two. And the promises of the confession of hope, that's the place of eternal dwelling. The inheritance never lost, can't be stolen, can't be interfered, can't be interrupted. Shibukaba. And for a moment, acknowledge to God that the words you've heard him speak, or the promise you've heard, or the hope you've had is still there, is still available. Everything you've ever said, Lord, you can still perform. Every promise you've ever made, you can still bring to fruition. you are more than able to perform what you promise. You're good. You're good. Connecting with your heart with your mouth with your heart. Say something that God is able. You can get me out of bankruptcy. You can get me out of this declaration, medical decree that says I'm going to die. You can dismantle the circumstances that I've built around me. You can find a way in. You can access my broken heart. You can make me happy again. You're able. You're able. That's all we're doing. Just start acknowledging his ability. Can he heal you? Can he deliver? You're able. You're able. Sometimes the only way to begin a reconnection is to glorify God for his ability. You're more than able. You're more than able. You're more than able. You can save my kids, my grandkids. You can save my dog. You can heal my horse. You can restore my life. You can renew me, refresh me. You can make me laugh again. Some of us haven't laughed for so long. He wants to make us laugh. And you can make me rich. You can make me come out of poverty into wealth. You can bring me into my future. You take the ash heap and put them as the rulers of the world. Shebukaba. You're so able. You're so able. You're so able. And Jesus, you purchased all of the right to every sin, and you made every movie yours. And you're the star, and we're the co-star, and you're the rescuer. Oh, now think about that. Your life is about to have a dramatic rescue. And Jesus is coming on his white horse. We worship you, Jesus. Come. We receive you coming. We don't know how exactly, but come. We give you room. We give you room. Just imagine. He's coming. He's coming, and every eye will see him. But when he comes, you're coming with him in glory. It's time to appear with Jesus in glory. It's time for an outcome of a victory. Hallelujah. Oh, ta ba 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 ba. And now, Lord, we give you room. We just kind of take away our restraints on how you have to do it or why the way it must be completed. And we say, well, you can do any way you want to do it. Oh, yes, Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Let's make this simple declaration. Jesus Christ, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. And you are the high priest of my confession. I confess you as Lord, Deliverer, Redeemer, Healer, Savior. You are my righteousness, your wisdom from God, your sanctification, your redemption, your joy and peace, and you fill me with hope. You're my everything. I let go of everything and take hold of you in everything. I open the door. You can access anything. Update anything. Upgrade my operating system. New thoughts. New imaginations. New dreams. New visions. And yes, I forgive everybody. I release everybody. It's too much work. I forgive them all. Let them go. I'm not the policeman of the universe. I release everybody. Even if they're going to go run and sin again, it's not my problem. That's yours. I forgive. Let's continue. I forgive everybody. I receive forgiveness in everything. I receive forgiveness in everything. I'm going to give you some room now so you can fix what I broke. You're my answer. I'm your problem. I'm your problem. You're my answer. I make the problems. You provide the answers. I'm the chaos. You're the light. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, move. You felt the freedom that brought. Yeah. Yes. Now we're going to have the ministry teams come up. Didn't it feel better to say you're a problem and he's the answer than to feel like you had to be the answer? Yeah. We got our jobs mixed up. Jesus is the Lord. So in practice, in prayer, in the holy presence, in the throne of grace room, Jesus the high priest, engage in creative thought, liberating thoughts versus restrictive thought. When you get thoughts of, I've got to work harder, I've got to pray longer, I've got to get first focused, a little more fasting, that's not Jesus. That's religion, masquerading, self-righteousness. God is not going to answer your prayer because you're right. Did you feel a moment ago he answered our prayer because we were wrong? He answers the wrong people. He forgives the sinful one. We have to agree with that part of us and him in that. Beloved, you're not going to be sent home. You're not going to be told, get out of here. You're not allowed in here because you're not a good person. You're in here because of Jesus Christ. Just one more time. Jesus, we worship you. You are good. We are not. You are Lord. We are not. You are God. We are not. You're the Savior. We are not. You're the healer. We are not. You're the righteousness. Your victory. Your triumph. You're everything. Be everything. We release everything into your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you.